I want to begin with a story. When I was a little kid, I was maybe 6, 7 years old, I lived on a dairy farm. And so as a kid, going back a lot of years, you know, over like almost 50 years now, I remember being in the barn. How many people have been up in an old barn? All right. Well, we had no lights, there's no artificial lights up there at all. But I'd go up there during the day when the sun was shining. And what I loved about it was that when you went in there was still light in there. Even though there was no lights, it was still light. Now, for some of you, when I start to talk about this, you're going to remember this. Barn boards are made of old pine. And the barn that we had was over 100 years old. So what happens is each season comes and goes, you have, you know, freezing and drying and rain and all the things that happen. And so in a pine board that's maybe a foot or so wide, what is in a pine board somewhere along the way? Anybody know? Knots, 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 lots of knots. That's always in pine boards. Now here's what happens, as those boards would dry and get wet again from the rain and dry again, the knots, the middle part, you know, that round part in the middle was harder than the wood around it. And they'd pop out. And so what would happen is when you go in the barn, there's all these holes, these round holes. Some of them maybe just half an inch across, some of them 2 or 3 inches across, birds could come in and out of them. But what was so cool is that during a sunny day, you could go in there and the sun would shine through those holes. And it'd be like, it was long before lasers were created, all right? We're talking, you know, 40 plus years ago. But it looked like a beam would come down and it would land, you know, on the hay or on the floor. And I remember as just a little kid sitting there, and actually, if you stay there long enough, you could see all the beams of light move in harmony with one another as the sun moved. Well, obviously, the sun wasn't moving. I didn't know that. But as the earth rotated, the beams of light would move. But what was incredible was the fact that through just these little holes was enough to light up the whole inside of the barn. And I remember thinking, man, this light is pretty amazing. And even then, before I was born again, the Lord was speaking to my heart, I believe, about His light. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. You know, really, you know, for most of us here that are believers, you know, we're light in the darkness. You know, we live in a dark place, a dark world. And you don't have to turn the news on for very long to realize that. You know, that there's tragedy happening. We have events, you know, down in Florida with that condominium falling down. Around the world, wars and rumors of wars. Health issues that people are dealing with. So there's darkness all around us, and we need to come to a place of realizing that we are people of light and how to be that person of light. It all begins, though, and I want to give you a little background concerning the whole light thing, because so often you and I as believers try to produce this light in our own strength. We try to be our own light, so to speak, but really that's being an artificial light. God wants us to be His light, and I'm going to hopefully show you this through the scriptures. And it all begins back in the book of Genesis. You know, and most of us here, whether you've read the whole Bible or not, you've gotten through at least part of Genesis because, you know, it's kind of a story, and when you read it, it's exciting. A lot of things are going on. Time to get to Exodus and Deuteronomy and Numbers, it's like, just kill me. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, it gets pretty tough, all right? Listen, so if you want to read your Bible, start in the New Testament, all right? That's where you want to start. And then if you want to do some Old Testament reading, go ahead. But start in the New. It's far more exciting for us as New Testament believers. Nevertheless, the Old Testament is still relevant and still has a place in our lives. So it begins that in the beginning, God did what? Created the heavens and the earth. And when we go on to verse 2, it says that the earth was empty, was void, and that there was darkness everywhere, and that the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. So we know there seemed to be no land at that point. And then verse 3 says this, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. So before God created anything, before God did anything else, He brought light into the darkness. Now it's interesting when you begin to study out some of the words there. For example, when we look at the words where it says it was empty and void, or without form and void, you know, that actually translated to confused and empty. And I like to think that this is a picture for you and I as a person without Christ. That when God comes in and shows up, He's hovering, in a sense, over that person. And that person's in darkness. And that word darkness is in a place of error, in a place of sin, in a place of missing out. And literally, that's how all of us started. We all started out in the darkness, didn't we? And God came in. We were, you know, empty. We were void. And God said, let there be light. And so He brought order and light and life into that individual's life. And I believe that this is such a great picture of that right in the starting verses of the book of Genesis, of God's heart for each and every one of us to bring light in the darkness into our lives. You see, all of us, no matter where you are in your spiritual journey, we were all in darkness at one time. We all were. But for many of us here who have accepted the Lord, now you're walking in the light. Yet we still have to deal with darkness, don't we? So let's move on a little bit, and let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Here's what the Lord says, because you might say to me, well, that's a bit of a stretch to pull that, you know, from Genesis to apply it to us. But look at this verse. It says this, "For God who said, let light shine out of the darkness," so that's a direct quote from Genesis 1, 3, "made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." Wow. So there it is right there in the New Testament, making that connection between Genesis 1, 3 and you and I today. And even taking a step further, saying that that light that is in us has been brought forth because of Jesus. And Jesus is the light, isn't he? We're going to talk about that. And so you and I don't produce the light, but Jesus produces the light in us. And that's why we say when you become born again, what do? You accept Jesus into your heart, so the light of Jesus now lives in you. And now you can be a light to those around you. Now, one thing that we often do, though, is that we try to make that light happen in our own strength, when rather it's letting the light of Jesus shine through. So it's not so much you doing it, but him working through you. We're going to talk about that more in a couple of minutes. So here's Jesus now in John chapter 12, verse 46. And here's what he says. "I am the light that has come into the world, so that all who believe in me won't have to stay any longer in the dark." See, all of a sudden, when Jesus shows up, we now have a choice to leave the darkness and walk in the light. Before that, we couldn't. We were all children of darkness, children of death, and that's the way it was. We were in our sins. The Word of God very clearly says that. But God sent his Son. You know, what's that famous scripture, John 3:16? "Whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. God sent his Son for that. And so we have this wonderful choice to become light walkers instead of dwelling in the darkness. Now, how many people would like that when we accept Christ, that it's like this cut line, this cleanly cut line, where darkness is over here, you become born again, and you're over here, and you're in complete light. There's no more darkness in your life. How many people would like that happen? All right, now leave your hand up if that's the way it really is in your life. My hand's not up. No, my hand's not up. Oh, God bless you then. That means that the light... Let me tell you something. I still have some darkness in me. In fact, Scripture says this in 1 John 1:9. If you say you have no sin, the truth is not in you. In other words, we all still are sinners, but because of the light in us, we're being changed. Now, I thank God that when we cross from this life to the next, any little bit of darkness that's left will be gone. But we need to face reality that we still deal with dark issues in our lives. Even if you're a born-again believer, you've known the Lord for 40 years, there's still issues that we have to deal with. And in fact, if you ever get to the point where you say, oh, I have no more darkness, that's a spirit of pride, which is darkness, that you need to repent from. So in other words, you still got the problem. You hear where I'm going? And so for each and every one of us, we have to come to that place of realizing this. And not to beat yourself up. You know, I don't want you to be like Martin Luther, you know, who tried to beat himself up to try to be righteous. I'm not asking you to do that, but to recognize that, hey, I still got issues. How many people have issues still? My hands are up. We got issues. And to be honest about that and to say, Lord, I am a child of light, but Lord, I want you to help me with the darkness. Help me to walk in the light so light is dispelled. And that's God's heart for each and every one of us. See, I wonder whether for many of us, we struggle with the darkness, trying to manage it, rather than just walking in the light. You know, the sun's starting to poke through. I feel it every now and then, you know, coming through the different branches here. And I can feel the heat of it. I can actually feel it shining down on me. And so what does light do? It dispels the shadows. You know, if you take a lamp and light up a dark room, do you have to, like, shoo the darkness out? You know, you put the lamp in, okay, darkness, you got to go now. You don't have to do that at all, right? The light is there, boom, it's gone. It's instantaneous even. Well, it's the same for your life and in mine. So often we're looking at the darkness. We're looking at, oh, I'm still doing this. I'm still thinking this. And all we do, we fixate on it and fixate on it. Instead of just saying, Jesus, I come into your light right now, and I just like to see that darkness dispelled. And the thing is, God already knows what's going on. So often we hide in the darkness because if we think we're hiding from God. I got news for you. God sees it all. He knows everything. He's seen it all. So you might as well come clean yourself. In fact, the only person you're deceiving is what? Yourself. So you might as well just come into the light and be honest and open with him so that that light can dispel the darkness that's in your life. So here's the next level, though. It's great. You know, Jesus is the light. We get all that. Then he goes on, and look at what he says this, what he says here. In Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men or people that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So as we've gone down this trail this morning, first of all, we know that God the Father, he's light, okay? We now know that God the Son is light because the Son is an exact representation of the Father, okay? And now, Jesus is pointing to his disciples. How many people are disciples of Jesus here? We got a few, I hope, all right? He's pointing to you and to I, and he's saying, now you are the light. Now, there are some groups, Christian groups, that take it to the extreme, and they're like, yes, now we're God, and we can do this and do that. I am not here to suggest that. But what I am here to suggest is that as a born-again, Spirit-filled Christian, the Spirit of God lives in you, and because of that, you are a light for Jesus. His light is inside of you. Now, that doesn't mean you can just go and do your own thing. Just as Jesus said, I do nothing apart from my Father's will. That's how we walk as well. We walk in the light, obeying our Father, obeying what the Lord's telling us to do, and then that light is reflecting to the world around us. And so here's the steps, right? From the Father to the Son to God's children, of which you and I are a part of, amen? And that's how God works. Now, again, I wish there was that line where darkness, light, and we wake up that morning after we're born again, and like our lives are like a fairy tale, right? Perfect, everything, you know, no bad, no sin, no darkness, everything. And I don't think any of us have that story here. Each and every one of us have, you know, family situations, you know, health issues, if not our own, other people's. So there's still darkness that's around us. But it's so important for you and I not to focus on that, but to be the lights that God's called us to be. So, so important. And so I want to look at, this is really our base scripture for this morning, Matthew 5, 14 to 16. Let me read it again. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before people that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I want to illustrate this a little bit because Jesus here, he talks about putting a light under a basket. Well, what does he mean by that? He says, you know, you shouldn't do that. And yet it's here in Scripture. So I want to use an illustration. So I got a couple of volunteers I asked earlier. Can they come up? Colin, yep, come on up. I like illustrations. I'm a picture kind of guy. Okay. So, okay. You can be our son. Go over there, about halfway to the speaker. You are the earth. Okay, come on over here. All right, so stand up. So go just a little part right there. Put the earth there. Okay. I thought it was God. I thought somebody stole my crop, but it's in here. I can get to it. There it is. Okay. This is the moon. Not really, but it's an illustration, okay? Okay. Earth. What's that? Sun. Okay. I tried to match the colors to kind of make it all work. Okay. Now, this really isn't to scale. This sort of is in scale. You know, the moon is about the third of the size of the earth. Unfortunately, that sun's not even close, all right? And in fact, if I was to do this whole thing to scale, the sun would be probably over in Marlboro someplace, okay? And over in Marlboro, we wouldn't be able to see it here, although we might, because the sun is 1.3 million times bigger than the Earth. It takes 1.3 million Earths to fit in. So actually, even if you were in Marlboro, we'd have this big dome that we could see. But I couldn't get someone to go there and make it that big, so we're doing this, all right? And so, think about this. You got the earth right here. Let's kind of hold the earth up, just like that. Hold the sun up, okay? So, what keeps the earth warm, keeps all the, you know, all the weather working, everything up? The sun, right? So the sunshine on the earth. And we got the moon, right? And the moon's what? In orbit, right? Yeah. Around the earth, right? Earth is turning, right? Earth is turning. Yep, there we go. Now, we used to think the sun was what was moving around. Obviously, it is moving through the galaxy, but essentially it's in the middle and everything goes around. So as we're here and I'm going around in circles, we're going around the sun. Yeah, but that's not that straight down. But that's all right, all right? So up in the air, here we go, hold it up. All right, so here's the only reason I'm bringing this all up. So here we have the moon, right? We have all the different phases. So depending on where it is, you know, we have, you know, the quarters and, you know, all the waning and, you know, all the full moon, all those different things that happen. And so here we had this happening. So, why am I talking about this for you and I for light? Well, we're the moon. In other words, the moon doesn't produce any light of its own, does it? Where does it get its light from? It gets the light from the sun. Okay, and so it goes around and around, and the, obviously the Earth is turning as well. And so, when I say Earth, this is the world. Let's use this as an illustration, okay. So, there's an event that happens every now and then. It's not that common, but where the moon comes around over here, and it's sitting about here when the sun is shining. And so here's the world. So what happens to the moon when this happens? Does anyone know what this is called?
A lunar eclipse.
So it doesn't happen that often, but it does happen. And I brought this all up to show you something. If we're moon, because we are reflecting the light of the sun, now not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N, okay, we're reflecting the light of the Son of God. Okay, so here we are, reflecting it to what? The world. So here's what happens. Every now and then, in your life and in my life, the world gets between us and the sun. See where I'm going with this? And there's darkness here. Why? Because the world is between us and the Son of God. Thanks, guys. All right, just put the ball back here. All right. So I want to take a few minutes today, and really this is my main point to bring us to right now, is how does that happen? In other words, great, we got this illustration, everyone's like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. All right, well, what does that mean? What causes darkness in our lives as believers? And I've got a couple of points here that I want to share with you, and some of them, you may, all of them may apply. It could be just one or parts of one, but I just want to give you this, food for thought for prayer to seek the Lord about. And the first one is this. We let our light, or we dim our light, or we put our light in a basket. Why? Because of fear of being ridiculed or rejected. You know, we live today in what's called a cancel culture. What does that mean? If someone has a different opinion than what the mainstream thought is, what do people do? You're condemned. You're rejected. You're put down. You know, nowadays, it's unbelievable. It's gotten to a point now where literally there are death threats on individuals just because they might have just a different opinion about something. You know, people are brutal to other people. And it's so sad because that's not the heart of God. You know that you can even disagree with God and God doesn't ridicule you? He still loves you. You can have a difference of opinion. Now, you won't be blessed, but God won't curse you. It just means that if you're not doing what God's calling you to do, you won't be blessed. But he will not ridicule you. He will not put you down. He will not condemn you. He will keep on loving you. And we have the examples all through the Gospels. He treated everybody with dignity and respect and with honor. He treated everyone in a loving, compassionate way. And that's what you and I need to do. But the problem is so often, you know, we step up to the plate and we say something to somebody or post something, you know, that's maybe a godly thought. And all of a sudden you get all this negative. And you're like, whoa. And you, what do? You go hide under a basket, right? You're like, I'm not going to do that again. Nobody wants to feel rejected. But here's what you need to remember. Are they rejecting you or the light that's in you? How many times were Jesus rejected? You know, for those of you that have read the Gospels, hundreds and hundreds of times. I'm glad Jesus didn't say, well, that's it. Nobody really likes me. I'm just going to take my life and go home, and everybody can just go to hell in a handbasket, literally. Thank goodness God didn't do that, right? And the thing is, for you and I, that's the way it's supposed to be as well. That though people may reject who you are and who you represent, you need to not have any fear about it. You need to allow the presence of God to keep working through you. Scripture says this in Isaiah 5:20. Now, get this. This scripture was written about 600-700 years before Jesus even showed up. And God was speaking of what was going to happen. I believe it's relevant for today. Look at this. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Oh, my gosh. Doesn't that describe today? You know, some of the things that you see promoted are absolute darkness. You know, and things that are light, you know, it's just reversal of what the truth really is. Listen, you and I as believers need to continue to be a light for Jesus. God's word changes not. because God changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we need to remind ourselves about that. And if God doesn't change, then just because right now there's a cancel culture, it shouldn't change either. Amen? You know, as the light is light. It dispels the darkness. Now, again, be sensitive. There's times to speak and times not to speak. But again, when God gives you that opportunity, don't put your light under a basket, but put it up on that lampstand so it can be a light to all those around you. Another one is this, and again, I see this quite prevalent, and I call it superficial peace. You may have a family where one of the family members is born again and the other isn't. And so they're striving and struggling within that household. And so often, I've seen this, that the person who's trying to follow Jesus is the one that makes a sacrifice. So they don't go to church because the other person's like, well, why do you go to church? You shouldn't go to church. You know, and then the kids, they don't go to church. They're not really part of learning the things of the kingdom. And again, what has that person done, that believer done? Here's what they've done. They've done superficial peace. To kind of keep peace in the household, they said, okay, fine, I'll just do this, and I won't get involved too much with God and all that. Now, what has that done? It just destroys the family. Instead of, listen, let me tell you what you should do. If you're in this circumstance right now, if you're watching and you're in this circumstance, the best thing you can be is be a light in your household. You see, as that unbelieving individual sees your changed life, that's the biggest thing you can do. It's not that you're going to make them go to church or make them do this or that, but as you demonstrate a changed life by the light that's in you, that will be the greatest witness they'll ever have. You might not even have to say a whole lot. Just be Jesus. Be that light like he would want you to be. Amen? And so I encourage you, do not be sacrificial in your walk with Jesus just for a superficial kind of peace. Scripture says this in John 14. Jesus said this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So the peace of God that Jesus talked about is an inside kind of peace. In other words, there may be some strife and some turmoil between believers and unbelievers. You can't help that, right? One's in darkness, one's in light. And it doesn't necessarily mean the one in darkness is an enemy. They just haven't seen the light yet. Remember you and I? We were in the darkness once. Does that mean that we hated God? Some of us maybe did. I just didn't know him personally. And then I got to meet him and it changed my life. And so it's so important for each one of us not to see people in darkness as the enemy, as, you know, necessarily even evil, but that they just haven't been enlightened yet. And to just love on them like Jesus would and let their lives be changed by his light through you. Because remember, they can't always see the Son directly. What did Jesus say? He said, "I'm going back to the Father. Now you need to do what I do." And what's that? Be a light, just as he was a light. That's why he had to transfer it, right? He said, "I'm the light of the world." Now he says, "You're the light of the world. You know, go be the light." And that's what God's called us to do. Okay, so we talked about fear of being ridiculed, of being rejected, superficial peace. Here's the last one. Your light reflector is dirty. In other words, you've got sin in your life. You've got things that are going on that you are ashamed of. And so, you know, that bumper sticker that you used to have on your car, that Jesus is Lord, you peeled that off because you're embarrassed about that because of your life. You don't tell anybody at work that you're a Christian. You're what's known as an undercover Christian. You know, literally, talk about a basket over top. You're just in that place where you don't want to talk to anybody because your life doesn't demonstrate the light that you know God would want you to have. And that can happen to each and every one of us. All of us deal with these things. And the thing is, you could be right with God today, and then tomorrow God brings up something you need to deal with. And it'll make you feel dirty. It'll make you feel unclean. And here's the thing. Just get in the light. You know, let God have his way and let him cleanse that area of your life so you don't have those feelings of shame and guilt and all of those things. And here's the thing. That then, instead of holding you back, actually begins a stepping stone for you to move forward, because you can tell that coworker or that friend or that neighbor, look it, I was in darkness once. I struggled with this. I had this. I had that. Now Jesus has helped me with this. He can help you too. So instead of it being something to hold you back, it can be a part of your testimony of God's goodness and faithfulness and love. Isn't that awesome? In other words, don't see this as a bad thing. In fact, Jesus talked about those who have sinned more love more. Well, why is that? Because they see how much God can do in their lives. And so see it as a positive. Once you come into the light, it can become part of your testimony of God's goodness. Amen? So, so important to be that way. Okay. So in closing, just a couple of thoughts. We've got two groups of people that I'm speaking to here. Maybe online, I'm also speaking to groups of people, and you here as well. We have those that are in the light, and those that are not yet in the light. Well, first of all, I want you to know this, that God loves both groups exactly the same. Thank goodness for that. In fact, the Bible, I started to quote it, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. So you think about that. He was loving the world before Jesus even died on the cross. So that means God loved each and every one of us, even while we were in darkness. And so my word to those that are in darkness right now, if you haven't accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, my first question is, why not? Maybe no one's ever asked you before. You know, it's not about joining a church. You know, it's not even about paying a tithe. You know, you don't pay God to be saved. That's not how it works, all right? It's about coming into a personal relationship with Jesus. And if you have never done that, it's as easy as right in your seat or right there at home, just saying, Jesus, I need to walk in the light. I'm in darkness. I need you to come into my life. And if you just pray a simple prayer like that, when I say prayer, that means just talk to God. Just like I'm talking to you, just talk to God. Sometimes people get all weird when you talk about prayer and you gotta say, oh, thou art Father, and you know, use all these blessed, you know, use all these crazy old English, you know, King James language. God is not impressed. You know, some of the greatest prayers I've ever prayed are like one-word prayers. Help. That actually worked pretty good for me. Right? Seriously, I've prayed that prayer a lot in my life. And the thing is, for each person here, you pray help. Help me, Jesus. That encompasses everything that I've talked about here today. Because Jesus knows what you need. He knows that you need to be brought into the light, and he will help you. So just with every head bowed, just for a moment, if there's anyone here that needs to make that decision, I encourage you right at this very moment in time, make that decision. And then ask Jesus to come into your heart. And then once you've done that, once you've asked for his help, tell somebody. It's always good to reinforce that decision, just so that other people can help you and not walk with you. And so if you're watching online, I encourage you to text us at the church, or email us, and just let us know you've made that decision. And we would love to hear from you and help you with that. Okay, just everybody with your eyes open for a second. Let's talk about the other group that's here. Now, the other group that's here are those that know Jesus, and yet you're dealing with some dark stuff in your life. It's as simple as stepping into the light. I've already talked about this. And so, Father, right now, I just pray for those that are here right now, that Lord, that they would come to a place of allowing the light to get to every nook and cranny of our lives. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here right now. That, Lord, that as believers here, that there are some that have come and said, okay, yeah, another sermon, I've heard it all. But the Lord God, that something that was said here today touched them in their heart. That they realize that there's some darkness and they need to come into the light. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness and for your goodness. And so, Lord, for those struggling with that, I lift them up to you. And I thank you that you are a good God, a loving God, a compassionate God. And that as we allow you, you will move in our lives. I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, just to finish, I was thinking about, you know, the whole, you know, knot holes and the light shining through. And how many people have heard of laser surgery? Very popular, isn't it, nowadays? It's used often for eye surgery, but it's actually used in all kinds of procedures. And the reason why it's used is because of its pinpoint accuracy. You know, it causes very little damage to the cells around, and it can just get exactly where it goes. Let me tell you something, and I love this. When you look at when God said, let there be light, this is just so amazing, going back to Genesis. It literally means that God just didn't pop the sun up. It's not what he did. He literally had the sun and the earth, and he brought it into focus. In other words, he brought it, you know, to the exact distance it needed to be. In our case, 93 million miles away, all right? They literally brought it in so it was in focus, so it was the right amount of heat, the right amount of radiation, the right amount of everything for us to survive. In fact, they, you know, scientists call it the Goldilocks zone. Not too hot, not too cold, so right in the middle. My point in bringing that up is that when God operates on you right today, when you make that decision to allow him to deal with the darkness in your life, He has laser precision. And can I tell you, he's not like some of the doctors today that say, whoops, I made a mistake. There's no mistakes with Jesus. When he pinpoints with his laser beam of light, he'll bring hope, healing, cleansing, wholeness completely to you. I promise you that. So let's just close in prayer. Father, I thank you. Thank you for those that came here today, and Lord, those that have been watching online as well, live. We speak a blessing upon those here and those there. I pray, Lord God, that out of this talk, that at least there's an understanding that you love us and that it's your heart for us to walk in your light. Because in your light is happiness, is fullness of joy, is everything we need for life and for godliness. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. For those that are helping serve, encourage you.